Good evening. I'm Daniel Vandenberg, ZL2DRV in New Plymouth.
And I'm Sarah Jane Maher at Headquarters Upper Hutt.
And I'm Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG from Christchurch.
And I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF in Nelson. And together, we bring you the NZART official broadcast for September 2024. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's broadcast. Leading the lineup tonight, Presidential Comment. Here's our NZART President, Daniel Vandenberg, ZL2DRV. Daniel?
Good evening, and Paul Martaday. Council is waiting for written advice regarding the AREC Limited Liability Company from our law firm. This should be with us shortly, at which time Council will discuss options going forward. Rob Wallace, ZL2WAL, and the website team are well into designing and updating the revamped NZART website. They hope to be ready to go live in early November. To have access to the new members section of the website on day one, you will need to be a current paid-up member of NZART. Your temporary login details will be emailed to you once we are ready to go live. So please make sure NZART has your updated working email address so we can do this as well. Please contact admin at nzart.org.nz with your email address by the end of October to be sure you can have access on day one. John Moriarty, ZL2JPM, has indicated he would like to step down from his current position of IARU Region 3 Liaison. Expression of interest are currently being sought for this position. Please contact HQ if you are interested. Council continues to work on several things post-conference, including work on exam software updates and other exam-based work behind the scenes, amongst other topics. Updates will be provided as we can share them. That's all from me this month. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Daniel. NZART President Daniel Vandenberg, ZL2DRV. The first ever two-way radio communication between New Zealand and England was made on the 18th of October 1924 by Frank Bell of Shag Valley Station in the New Zealand South Island region of Otago. Frank Bell held the call sign Z4AA, and on that date, 18th October 1924, using primitive homebrew radio equipment, made contact with Cecil Goyder, G2SZ, at the Mill Hill School in London. In 1974, on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of the contact, 80-year-old Frank Bell, then ZL4AA, remembered the historic contact.
We had already got in touch with Australia and South America, and I happened to be just listening about, I think, about 11 o'clock our time at night, and I heard this call from England, so full of hope, I answered the call, and strange to relate, he came back. But he didn't believe it. And he said, if you're really 4AA, which is my call, cable.
The CWQSO lasted for about 1 hour and dealt mainly with issues concerning signal quality. Again, here's Frank Bell.
We were both a bit shocked, I suppose, really. And Cecil Goyder, whom I was talking to in Mill Hill School near London, he said he was a bit sceptical about it. He said, if you're really New Zealand 4AA cable, which we did, and from then on, pretty well every night for several nights running, we kept in touch, and other men in New Zealand joined in.
The voice of the late Frank Bell, ZL4AA, who made the historic contact back on October 18th in 1924. To celebrate the centenary of the historic QSO, Otago Branch 30 will be at the Shag Valley Station site for approximately 1 week before the 18th of October 2024 and a couple of days afterwards. They'll be operating as a field station on most HF bands, 80, 60, 40, 30, 20, 15 and 10 metres, and also will have access to two Dunedin VHF repeaters, a 690 with All-Star Node ZL4MD 61891 and 665 with IRLP Node 6507. Please look out for the call sign ZL4AA on the bands as just mentioned. It will be the call sign used at Shag Valley from the 12th until the 20th of October 2024. Otago Branch 30 will be attempting to recreate, as near as possible, the original 1924 QSO on 18th October, with the big moment being around 1800 to 1900 on Friday the 18th of October. For further information, please refer to qrz.com and search for ZM100DX, the special event callsign for this celebration. ZM100DX will be available for operators throughout New Zealand to use by booking your favoured time slots, operating band and mode. Use the link shown in the latest HQ info line, number 492, in the ZM100DX article to access the Google Sheets document and make your booking. It's available from late September until 26 December 2024, and Otago Branch 30 looks forward to your support and participation with this. And that information tonight on the upcoming centenary celebration for the first transglobal Antipodean two-way radio contact from New Zealand to the United Kingdom was supplied by Alan Walton, ZL4QC, Martin Belch, ZL4JH, and from the NZART Official Broadcast Archives. It's to Upper Hutt we head now and join Sarah Jane Morrow at NZART headquarters.
Thank you, Jim, and kia ora NZART. It is election year this year for the office of NZART President and Executive Council. For those interested, the election notice and nomination form can be found in this month's info line and the upcoming issue of Break-In. Please ensure that you have sent the form to the returning officer by 31st of December. Further information can be found in the election notice. Headquarters would like to encourage members to take advantage of the rebate period, which will finish at the end of November. Make sure to pay before then in order to take advantage of the $15 discount to your subscription fee. We will be sending out account statements next month as a reminder. Lastly, there is still no confirmed destination for next year's conference, but we're hoping to provide further updates regarding its location next month. That's all from us at headquarters. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Sarah Jane. Sarah Jane Morrow, reporting from NZART headquarters. The Manawatū Amateur Radio Society Branch 20 NZART is holding its annual table sale next Saturday, the 5th of October, at the Longburn Community Centre, 17 Nyree Street, Longburn, and that's off State Highway 56. Doors open for sellers at 8:30 a.m. and the rope will drop to start trading at 10 a.m. This year, the selling area will be roped off until 10 a.m. with only sellers setting up allowed. However, the kitchen and toilet area will be open beforehand. The usual kitchen food, along with hot and cold drinks, will be available. The cost of a table to sell your own surplus goods will be $25 for a full table and $15 for a half table. For further details or to book a table, email tablesale@zl2ko.org.nz. tablesale@zl2ko.org.nz. And remember, this is a cash-only event, so please bring small change if possible. That's the Manawatū Branch 20 Table Sale next Saturday, the 5th of October, at the Longburn Community Centre, 17 Nyree Street in Longburn. Now for an update on international amateur radio news, we join the team at the Amateur Radio Newsline.
Our top story this week is the demise of the GreenCube satellite. It was loved and well used by avid DXers and DXpeditioners, as well as those making more casual satellite contacts. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us what happened.
The popular GreenCube satellite, IO-117, is no longer functioning, the result of what is believed to be radiation damage suffered in medium Earth orbit. The satellite, which is owned by the Italian Space Agency, was developed by S5 Lab at Sapienza University of Rome. The team attempted to send commands to reactivate the orbiter earlier this month after it suffered a communication blackout, according to a report by the AMSAT news service. S5 Lab is not optimistic that GreenCube can be restored to service, acknowledging that high radiation exposure can be an issue in a medium Earth orbit. They added that it was unclear whether GreenCube would have a successor. The AMSAT report also stated that GreenCube is not the only medium Earth orbit satellite that's been affected by radiation levels. It was, however, the first satellite in medium Earth orbit to carry an amateur radio payload. S5 Lab and AMSAT Italia expect to hold a webinar about GreenCube's mission, which it said exceeded all expectations the team had for it when it was launched in July of 2022. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
NASA astronaut Sunita Williams, KD5PLB, has taken the helm of the International Space Station as its new commander as she and fellow crew member Butch Wilmore await their return to Earth in February 2025. The pair's mission aboard the ISS was supposed to last only 8 days following their arrival via Boeing Starliner, but complications with the spacecraft delayed their departure, and Starliner returned to Earth crewless. By the time the duo returns home aboard a SpaceX Dragon capsule, they will have been in space 8 months. This is Williams' second time as commander of the ISS. A notable pioneer who helped create the IARU Region 3 organization has become a silent key. We hear about him from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Having secured his amateur license in the wake of World War II, Pete Williams, the former VK3IZ, wasted no time in immersing himself in service to the amateur radio community. By the late 60s and early 70s, he was devoting his efforts to the Wireless Institute of Australia. Casting his eye more broadly, he also joined with a small team of other Australian amateurs to propose and establish Region 3 of the International Amateur Radio Union. As a businessman, Pete and other radio colleagues co-founded the Vicom Company, importing ICOM radios and other ham radio products. A lifelong fan of radio restorations, Pete paired that talent with his love of military communication technology, especially the legendary Collins R390 receiver. He restored and resold many of them over the years, along with the S-Line and other models. With his hearing and eyesight posing challenges later in life, Pete let his license lapse a few years ago. The call sign he had held for more than 70 years was acquired by another amateur in 2023. Pete, who became a silent key Saturday, September 14, was 94. Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, editor-in-chief of Amateur Radio Magazine, told Newsline that a longer article about Pete and his life will appear in that magazine's next issue. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
In New Zealand, two telegraph offices are springing back into action to demonstrate the best of a bygone era. Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF, gives us those details.
Although the date may be the 26th of October 2024, it may just as well be in the era of steam train travel, as on that day, ham radio operators bring telegraph offices back to life on the Glenbrook Vintage Railway. It will be Labour Weekend, but it will also be Morse Code Day, as visitors ride the steam train between Glenbrook and Waiuku, and learn how messages can travel efficiently too, ham radio style. Visitors at Glenbrook will have an opportunity to have Neil ZL1NZ and Paul ZL1AJY send a telegram to Waiuku before they get on board to travel to the other station. Upon arrival at Waiuku, visitors may collect their telegram and send a reply via operators Martin ZL1MDE and Peter ZL1PX. The Franklin Amateur Radio Club is hoping to cultivate an appreciation for what was once the main form of radio communication back when steam trains ruled the rails. This is Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024. All rights are reserved.
And as always, we say thank you to Newsline for the use of their copyright material. Down to Christchurch we head now to update on the activities of some NZRT branches with Stephen, ZL4HG.
Thanks, Jim, and a good evening, everyone. Here's a short roundup of events coming up in your region. And we start with the Whangarei Amateur Radio Club, Branch 28 NZART, where the next meeting is on Wednesday the 2nd of October in the club rooms at Heritage Park in Whangarei. and the topic is digital modes. To the Western Suburbs Radio Club Branch 03, and just an advance notice of the used equipment sale on Saturday the 2nd of November at the Rosebank Primary School Hall in Avondale. But I'll give you another reminder next month. The next regular meeting of Napier Branch 25 will be on Wednesday the 2nd of October, starting 7:30pm at 123 Latham Street in Napier. Now this will be the quiz night with 10 general knowledge questions and 10 technical questions straight from the amateur radio license exam. These will all be multiple choice, so you shouldn't be too frightened to have a go, and there will be prizes. And just a reminder that November is the AGM and the Pan Pack Trophy for homebrew exhibits. To Marlborough Branch 22, where there will be a pickover night, otherwise known as the sales and swap night, on Thursday the 10th of October. Look to your newsletter for more details. Down south now, Christchurch Branch 05 NZART has its next meeting on Wednesday the 2nd of October at the clubrooms at 5 Idris Road in Fendleton, starting 7:30pm. The October presenter will be Paul Whiting, a retired police officer, and the topic, investigating murder, how to get away with it. Well, that sounds intriguing. And finally to Otago Branch 30 NZART, where meetings are held on Wednesdays in the clubrooms at McAndrew Road in South Dunedin, usually. For October, on the 2nd, there will be final planning for the centenary at Shag Valley Station. On the 16th, the activity will be a night at Shag Valley. On the 18th of October, there will be the Shag Valley centenary of the first Trans World Radio Contact. And on the 30th of October, Martin ZL4JH will discuss some practical work on duplexes and filters with a WVNA. Well, that's all from me. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG, reporting from Christchurch. Well, that's all for tonight. The next official broadcast of NZART will be made by ZL6A at 8pm on Sunday, the 27th of October. This is ZL6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, concluding the official broadcast for September 2024. Good night, everyone. Good night now.